Good. How are you, Rob?
Yeah, doing pretty good. A little bit of a crazy week here with everybody home.
Yes, I can imagine. I guess my first question, and I've been thinking about this for a while, is, I've been listening to you since, I want to say it was like at least 2013. It was way back. I was trying to decide when it was, but or figure it out. But I remember distinctly you interviewing Andrea Belke. It must have been for Game Changers, and you were like, Andrea, your life is great. Why are you doing this? Like, why are you doing this to yourself? And I know you've been hesitant over the years. You just didn't have much interest, I think. But why now? Why the traitors? Why are you doing this to yourself? Like, talk to me about getting back into reality TV.
Yeah, I gave Andrea some bad advice because I
Okay.
looked at Andrea as a person who had this great hosting career. And I was like, Andrea, why do you want to go back on Survivor? Because then, look, you have no control necessarily. You have some control over how it goes, but like it could go horrible. They could put somebody new in your job. You leave, you come
Yep.
back, and things, you had a good thing. Why did you cut open the golden goose? And she went out and had a great run on Game Changers and made me look like a total idiot for giving her that advice. But for me, I never saw traitors as that type of a issue where to me, this was such a great opportunity to go and get the chance to go play this great game, the hottest show on television. And for me, that this was just a once in a lifetime opportunity to get to go to the castle and get the chance to put my money where my mouth is and get to talk, have an amazing adventure. And so to me, it was an opportunity that I would never have thought of passing up.
Okay, fair. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about the podcast business to start before we even get into traders, because again, you've been doing the podcast for so long, sort of before podcasting was cool, before everyone had a podcast. At what point, and
I was
after,
podcasting before and after it was cool.
yes, exactly. And we'll probably continue. And I imagine like the business wasn't as lucrative. It must have been a little scarier. You have a family and everything. At what point did you make the decision to make it a full-time thing, and how scary was that?
And I love that you called it a business when I started it because it was not that. It was just something that I did to try to maybe, hopefully, somebody would see that I was doing it and would give me a job. So it was really over a year of doing it before I even put an ad on the website. And it was about almost 4 years into it when I started doing it full time. I had been laid off from the job that I had. My son Dominic, who's now 12 years old, had just been
Wow.
born and I was out of work. But I was unemployable because that there is no job I could have gotten where I could have said, okay, I need off on this day. I need to do an exit interview on Thursdays. And so my wife was always a great supporter of what I wanted to do. And I said, let's give this a try. And I was an early adopter on Patreon. I put up the Patreon membership in January of 2014, and the rest is history. I had such a great response from people who said, I don't want you to stop doing this. So here, I want to support you in what you're doing.
Yeah, it is crazy how it happened. Obviously, a lot of hard work. I'm always curious, Rob, how do you explain your job to people when you meet them? Hey, Rob, what do you do? Like, what's the easiest thing you say, or how deep do
I
you go down that
usually
rabbit
just
hole?
say I do a podcast. I try not to give too much information. People like who don't know what any of this is, they meet my wife. They think of this poor woman who has to like this loser husband who's like in a basement somewhere doing this horrible podcast that nobody listens to. I don't know how they put food on the table. So I really, if somebody doesn't know what I do, I try to give them as little information as possible because it's just too confusing.
Yeah, but you're right. It is. I feel like podcasting, because so many people do it now, it's almost like people, not maybe they don't look down at it, but they don't fully understand the scope of what you do and sort of this empire that you've built. But yeah, I'm curious. You've had people on the podcast that I feel like, or you've interviewed people who have no idea you were even on Survivor. So I feel like, is that a compliment, like, of what you built, that okay, they don't even consider me necessarily a former reality star. They consider me, this business entrepreneur.
I don't know what people consider me. I think they just tune in and they know that I've been doing this for a long time. They don't necessarily know what my background is. And for a lot of people that listen to the podcast, they were a baby when I was, or not, maybe not even born when I was on Survivor. So I don't begrudge anybody of like, don't you know what I've done? Don't you know my resume before you listen to the podcast? So I always think it's a fun treat when people don't necessarily know things about my backstory.
Yeah, I want to know how accurate the not Survivor, just Wikipedia, because I went back and
Okay.
I didn't know you had studied broadcasting.
Yes.
Did you do this thesis on reality television? I mean, this was before, I mean, the early aughts of reality TV. So when you go on Survivor at the time, what was your career trajectory? Were you thinking about staying in media? Like, were you hoping? Yeah, talk to me about that, I guess.
So, and I tell the story in the book about the summer of 2000 was I was trying to finish up graduating from college, and I also fell in love with Survivor. And I needed to somehow figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my life. But I ended up seeing Survivor that first season, and I was like, okay, this is what I want to do, because I felt like that this was just something clicked for me with Survivor. And so I got out of college. I did not, now bet on me, I did not really pursue broadcasting as a career. I didn't know how. I didn't know what to do. I graduated from college. I'm like, what do I get? Like some internship somewhere? Well, I don't know anybody. And so I felt like that I was ill prepared and did not necessarily have the drive at that point to figure out what I needed to do. So I started working in an insurance office with my mom actually also worked in this office. It was a friend of the family who thought I was like a smart young person who needed help with computer stuff in the office. And so I was working in this office, but also watching Survivor that whole summer. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And really, it was then the following summer when I saw Dr. Will play on Big Brother 2. That was when I said, okay, this is okay. I now I see the vision of here's somebody who's really having fun with this. I can do this. And so I ended up making a tape to be on Big Brother 3, got very far into that casting process. And that's ultimately how I got on Survivor.
Yeah, it's just cool, the trajectory. I think it's like really fun.
But there was
You
no
know,
plan,
there's no
really,
plan.
with that either. I was somebody who was just like, I had graduated from college. I was living with my parents. I was like, okay, I don't know how to get into broadcasting or entertainment or any sort of thing that I had wanted to do since I was a kid. And I felt like I could get on one of these shows and then maybe somebody would give me a job.
Yeah, no, I mean, it worked out. And I completely agree because even when I graduated during the recession, it was like, it's not easy to get a job in this industry. So I
I
get
mean,
that.
really, nobody ever did give me a job. So that was kind of my
You made
plan
a
with going on
job.
Survivor and also with starting a podcast that someday somebody would give me a job, but it didn't end up happening that way.
Yeah. I want to talk about your family a little bit because, you know, I'm new to this sort of. I've always worked from home most of the time, but like working for myself, you know, oh, you're in the house. Like you're there. You get to see your family all the time. But no, like you're locked away. You're recording hours on end. How have you sort of navigated the business side and the family side? And has that gotten easier or harder?
That's a really good question. I would say that it has gotten harder as my family has grown up, because when the kids were babies, you could hire a babysitter to come in, and my wife was working, and so she would go to work, and then she ha would have a babysitter would come in, and the kids didn't really have like a lot of questions. They didn't want to go to their friend's house. They didn't have baseball games to go to. They didn't have, well, like, Dad, why are you doing this? They didn't want like have the ability to come upstairs and ask me questions. And I think it was easier when my kids were smaller, and it's gotten harder as I'm trying to manage being a dad and a husband and also somebody who's running this podcast network.
Speaking of, as a business owner, I think it's tricky in media because we're in reality TV, we're in media, we're in this industry where like, yes, everything is sort of can be, I guess, boiled down to numbers and black and white if you want to. But I think there's also a lot of like chemistry, personality. It could be a little subjective. Like, have you ever, I guess, how do you sort of make business decisions for yourself that you know are right that might not be the most popular? Because you have this huge fan base that you sort of It feels like a lot of pressure in terms of that.
The interesting thing about Rob's podcast is like that it started from nothing and then also was kind of like a after school activity for a lot of people who showed up and at various points said, "Hey, I'll do this. I'll do this. Great, great, great." And then around that, we've tried to turn it into a business that serves so many different types of people in our community. So it is really hard to sort of figure out, okay, here's a person who's been doing this, but is that person necessarily, were they here first or are they the best person to be doing this thing?
Yeah, I feel like those are the kinds of decisions that I've gotten better at making over time, but it's not always fun because also part of our job is like we're fans as well. And I actually let me just ask you now because Survivor 50, for example, I watched the trailer. There's a bunch of celebrity cameos. Of course, as a fan, I'm rolling my eyes. But then the other part of me is like, well, if it keeps the lights on, do you sort of find yourself, having differing opinions as someone who's in this business, but also as a fan of the shows?
So with something like the Survivor 50 decisions, like I understand the impulse to, bring in some, okay, well, let's bring in some high profile names that will help with maybe garnering more attention for Survivor 50. But the way I look at that is that I think you already were going to have all that attention around Survivor 50. I kind of wish that they had done something like that for Survivor 49, a season that really could have used some sizzle around it, where if, like, hey, there are all these great celebrity fans of Survivor, could we maybe get them more involved with a season that could use a little bit more help as opposed to Survivor 50, where I think that the fans really look at Survivor as such an institution and they're a little worried, like, hey, please don't screw this up for us. We've been really waiting a long time and we really hope this is good. So maybe don't tinker so much with the really important one.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. And I know you've been open about sort of you were in casting for that. It didn't work out. Traitors worked out perfectly. Do you play the what if game when you see the cast and are you like, you know what? It worked out how it should have.
I haven't really thought too much about a what if with Survivor 50. Yeah, I was very happy with the way that everything turned out. When you talked about, like, did I have any hesitation to go and do the traitors? I really didn't. I
Oh,
did
wow.
have trepidation about going to go do Survivor 50, where that there were a number of factors that I had personally a lot of pause. I love Survivor. Survivor is in my heart, and it would be a dream to one day play Survivor again. But with that, I felt like that there was some downside where if it didn't work out for me on Survivor, I felt like, what will people think about what I have to say about Survivor? And could I lose my credibility if I go out and really flop on Survivor? Or also that I would not be able to podcast about Survivor
Yeah.
50 to be on Survivor 50. And sure, there's a world where I go to Survivor 50 and I win and it's all great. But there's a lot of worlds where that doesn't happen. And I'd hate to be on the sidelines for Survivor 50.
Yeah, no, I honestly it makes sense. But this is my worry about even with you doing traders, and it's not a worry, but when Daniel Reyes comes out of retirement and does it, or even Kacer and 15 years later is doing Big Brother, it's like we all want them to win. Same with you and traders. But at the end of the day, I think as fans of you and listeners, we just want to make sure you had a good time, that you don't regret doing it. And so obviously you can't spoil the show, and I'm not asking you to, but is it a decision that you're happy that you made, I guess?
100%. I
Okay.
absolutely have no regrets about the decision to go and do the traders. And I knew that going in, win or lose, that I felt like that this was going to be such a cool next chapter in my story. And I felt like that to go back to Survivor was I felt like that I was like chasing redemption
Yeah.
from the last time that I was going to play Survivor. Whereas I always just looked at Traitors and this opportunity as a reinvention as opposed to chasing something that I didn't get done 20 years ago.
No, it makes sense. And the game has obviously changed a lot. You've changed a lot. I mean, I think are people expecting, you drop Amazon Rob in Fiji? I don't know what the expectation would, but I understand the sentiment of like, yeah, it just feels like there's more pressure there, but maybe unnecessary pressure.
Yeah, to me, it was always like a heart decision of like to go back to Survivor. I thought it would have really been such a cool full circle moment for me to go back to Survivor, but I'm very much at peace of like what I've gone on to do with my life around Survivor, as opposed to being one of the people that were on, so going back and playing on Survivor.
Yeah. And we've seen people go on Traitors, their careers explode. It's a huge show. When you sign up for it, I guess first of all, like what were your kids thinking? Are they excited to see you on TV again?
I think they're excited to see me on television. I think that it's a little weird for them because they were not alive when I was on Survivor. So they know stories of that dad was on television, even though my wife won't let them watch Survivor the Amazon. And
Fair.
so I don't think they really know what to expect.
Okay. When it comes to Traitors, like you look at the cast, you get there. What are your thoughts? Like, some of these people, some of these people know you well. Some of these people probably have no idea who you are. They've never seen Survivor, whatever. How do you play that when it comes to perception? Like, where do you fit in there? Because you don't want to say downplay it and then be like, this guy's sneaky, but you also don't want to overplay it. Did you think about that a lot?
I really thought about that extensively before I went to go play, and that ultimately where I landed on was that, hey, I'm a guy, I was on Survivor 20 years ago. Now I'm a full-time podcaster and I get to interview all sorts of different reality TV stars. I'm a dad from North Carolina, and that's really who I am. I'm not a person who is on Survivor times and times and times again. I played Survivor last in 2004 was the last time I was
Right.
on Survivor. So it's not really like that is who I am. And I think that that is also true.
It's true, but the strategy that you have in your brain, Rob, I feel like maybe we haven't seen it, but let's talk about, I guess, the cast that you do know. Was that also tricky? Because these sort of pre-existing relationships, I think, can be good and bad, right? Like you don't want to be making promises, but you kind of have, like, how did you navigate that?
Well, my feeling going in, my feeling going to Scotland is that I felt like that the reality stars on these shows really need to work together. I feel like that there's strength in numbers, and I feel like that if you can pull the reality stars together, the gamers together, I think that there is a way that those players can work together and hopefully dominate the round table.
Well, yeah, especially because of what happened last time. The last, I feel like
And I
we're
hated to
gonna,
see that on Traitors season three,
yeah.
where, and I can understand why Rob doesn't want to work with Tony when Rob is a traitor, but I really felt like that if all of the people from the CBS reality shows, even if that they can just for a short time have some sort of non-aggression pact, I think that that is a really smart way for the people from the CBS shows to come into the Traitors.
Yeah, I feel like it's sort of you're grouped together anyway. I feel like I'm just, yeah, I feel like 4 seasons in, they're starting to get on to the gamers and like, you got to kind of stick together. So that makes sense. Was there someone that you were excited to play with? And was there someone you were worried to play with?
I wasn't worried to play with any of the all four of the other gamers that were there are all like really great players. Three out of the four other people won their show, and Tiffany should have won her show. So it was really great company to be there with.
Yeah. Okay. How did you, is there a way to prepare for Traitors, Rob, or is it not really?
I think that certainly you can prepare by watching all of the seasons and all of the international seasons, which I did. But I think it's a hard show to really get your head around in terms of what it's like. And I guess this is the same for all of the shows, where the experience of watching the show isn't
Yeah.
necessarily the same as when you are there because it's so immersive.
Yeah, so going back on set of a TV show, I mean, you've probably been on sets before, but like, how was it being on the other side back in that? Did it give you flashbacks or was like a completely new experience?
It was a completely new experience because
Okay.
Survivor is so much of that you are just like thrown into this element, which is just that you are living outside in the jungle and there's so much physical that you are dealing with, whereas the traders that it is not necessarily that you are trying to physically survive, but
Right.
mentally it can be especially daunting.
Yeah. What about be on the other side of exit interviews? I've thought about this and I'm like, it's got to be interesting because, yeah, I guess, how does that feel or how will it feel?
I don't know yet. I
I'm
think that
excited.
I have like made a list of all of the things that I like and don't like that people do on the exit interviews. So I hope that when
I
I
want to
get
see
that
this list,
opportunity.
Rob.
Yeah, I look, I but you know, Sharon, you've had good ones and you've had bad ones.
Yeah.
And
of
so
course.
I sort of like I want to do the types of things that people that have made it like really fun and memorable and not do the things that people are like, "Oh my God, that sucked."
Yeah, this is the same old question. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you call anyone for advice that you want to cop to?
I spoke to Boston Rob before
Okay.
I went to Gallup to play, and there's no better resource that you can talk to. But talking to Boston Rob is a little bit like calling up a bird and saying, "How do you fly? How do you do it?" I guess that it's like the things that come naturally to him aren't necessarily the things that any other mere mortal can do. But Rob has been a very supportive friend to me for quite some time, and I really appreciated the advice that he had for me. And it basically his advice to me was to, "Hey, Sister Nino, go when you go there, just don't say anything, be quiet, don't talk, just talk in the confessionals, you'll do great." So that was his feeling of just go there and do not, you know, cause a stir.
Yeah. I like that you kind of talked to one person. You didn't go crazy because I think asking a million people advice isn't very helpful either. Oh, let's go to the book. Speaking of Boston Rob, back in the day, he wrote a book. I'm curious because I read the log line of the book. Like, what can fans expect? Because you could have approached this in a million different ways, right? Like, you've gone about, you've done podcasts about the evolution of strategy on Survivor. You can go into the history of Survivor, your history of Survivor.
Yeah.
What can we expect, I guess, from the book?
So what I tried to do with the book was to take a look at the journey that Survivor has been on from that point in 2000 when I first found the show. And it has gone on such an evolution of as a cultural phenomenon and a television program and a game from when I first found it in the year 2000 to ultimately where we are now in the new era, heading into the 50th season and the 25th year of the show. I don't know if anybody has ever really cataloged that journey of Survivor from the start to ultimately where it is now and through the new era. And so really from my perspective, which I think is a unique vantage point of being this super fan turned player, ultimately turned a podcaster and historian of the show, to really take a look at all of the different players and the moments and really the factors that caused the game to change in the direction that it did. The impact of the super fan is something that we've really cataloged and how that has really single-handedly changed Survivor so much in this new era, where it used to be that the show really shied away from people like me who were just crazy nuts about the show and putting them on the show. And then really after Cochran came along, there started to be this idea of like, hey, we need more and more people who know about the show, where now it would be crazy if there was a contestant on the show that had not seen 30 seasons of Survivor coming in.
Yeah.
And now, well, I played with people who hadn't seen 3 episodes of Survivor way back when. And it wasn't necessarily a requirement for people to come in and do it. And now you need to be so well-versed in Survivor. And, you know, what are the impacts of that change on the show? And also we get into some strategy. We have a guidebook on, you know, how to play every single aspect of the
Wow.
game as you go through it. And so I think it's a book that certainly has my sensibility in terms of, yes, there is a lot of, you know, data and lore of Survivor, but it's also presented in hopefully a very comedic way.
Okay, I like that. All right. I was hoping there'd be like some of your personality in it. So that's cool.
I hope there's a lot of my personality in it.
Okay, great. How was the writing process? I mean, you have a ton of going on. Like, how did you even do this?
Yeah, so I worked with a really talented ghostwriter, Alex Kavutsky is his name, and we would talk on the phone for hours and hours and hours. And so it really, he did a great job of capturing everything that I had to say. And he's a podcast listener. And so he
Oh.
really got, my voice and my sensibilities down. And we were just like go through everything and have these really fun conversations about all these different aspects of the show. And so it made writing a book like this doable on top
Yeah.
of like the podcasting schedule. And I actually did the final revisions of the book on my way flying to Scotland.
Your life is crazy, Rob.
It's like I really need to go to sleep, but I also need to like sign off on the book.
Yeah. I mean, did you always want to be an author, or did you feel like you were going to write a book at some point?
I thought that putting all of this information into a book, I thought one day would be great. I never had dreams of being an author. I love what I get to do as a podcaster. This has been the medium that I've always really been attached to and really loved being a podcaster or radio before it was podcasting. And so I think that this was really what I want to do, but I've always wanted to, boy, it would be great to take everything that I've learned about Survivor and put it into a book.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to read it. I feel like I'm the opposite. Like, I was a writer first, and now I'm going into podcasting, and I'm not super comfortable. Like, I'm still learning. But yeah, it's a cool thing.
Yeah, well, you seem very comfortable to me, Sharon.
Oh, thank you. I like interviewing people, obviously. That's what I like. But I'm not, as witty, I would say, as you are. I want to know, I
Who
think there
is?
are,
I mean, come
yeah,
on.
exactly. People come out of reality TV a lot of times, having a hard time, not knowing how to navigate it. You've sort of built this huge career, obviously over time, and not necessarily just because you were on Survivor, but do you have any advice or what you would tell people who do want to make this a career in some sense? I feel like there's an overabundance now, which I don't think is necessary, but it's also easier in the sense like, yeah, you could just start a podcast. Is there any advice you give to like players who want to do this or do something similar?
I think that it starts with that you have to have a passion for what it is that you're doing. And I think that the listeners will like ultimately gravitate towards that. But I don't necessarily want to encourage more people to be starting podcasts when they come off of the shows. But
Yeah.
I think that the challenge is for these people who try to do it. And the thing that I feel like that I've been able to have success with is that I do a podcast and it's not all about me. It's not all about how I would have done it or what happened on my season, that I come into these shows and I really do, for the most part, try to talk about it from the vantage point of as a student of the game. Here's what I'm seeing. And it's not necessarily all about me, me, me. And so I think that that is the challenge for players to who come into this realm of can you disconnect the you part of it from what you're going to be talking about? Because there are new players. We're not talking about you and your season and your game necessarily anymore. And obviously when I interview somebody or when you interview somebody, you want to talk about like their own experience. But I think as the host of the conversation, you can't have it all be about you anymore.
Yeah, honestly, you nailed it. And Rob, every time someone even guests, and it's natural for them to bring up their own season. But as a listener, yeah, you're always kind of like, okay, like rolling your eyes. And I feel like you're so good at sort of pushing the conversation or navigating that conversation necessarily away and more in the present. So yes, I want to commend you because that is something as a listener, like, it drives you nuts sometimes. You're like, all right, we've heard about your season,
We know what you would have done. But
Yeah.
it's obviously that you want to hear those stories too.
Yeah.
Just sometimes like that it would be great to hear other things too besides just that person's own personal anecdotes about what happened to them. Can they give us analysis on what's happening now?
Yeah, I feel like, and then when you do talk about your season or a nugget of something, it's more of like a treat as opposed to something that's like, oh, we've heard this a zillion times. So yeah, no, I love that. Now that you did Traitors, Rob, has this scratched the itch, or has this been like, you know what, I might do something more in the future on reality TV?
Yeah, I loved to get to leave the studio and go have this incredible adventure. I hate it when reality stars like, that's it, I'm retired, I'm out of it, I'm over it. Like this going on reality TV is fun. Why do people say I'm closing this chapter of my life? I will say that if I never get to play another reality TV show again, I had a blast doing the reality TV that I got to do, and if there are more opportunities, I would be very excited.
Okay, I love that. My last question, I guess, was, and this is kind of a silly question because, your podcast, you cover Survivor. I feel like that's the main thing that people know you for, but your podcast has grown to so many shows. And so it's not necessarily contingent on Survivor success. But yeah, what does RHAP look like, I guess, if one day there isn't Survivor? Like, do you have any sort of vision, or do you think it's just always going to evolve into wherever reality TV goes in the future?
There was a time when I had a great fear that Rob as a podcast could not survive, no pun intended, if Survivor ever went off the air. And that would certainly be a challenge. But after doing a year of podcasting during COVID when there was no Survivor, and now, of course, I don't need to tell you how huge Big Brother is and all of the great work that, Taryn does on Rob as a podcast. And then now that Traitors has come along and has become a like third really huge franchise in the reality TV space. I just hope that there will always be competition reality games that have a strategic element to them on television or streaming. And if there's not, I would love to maybe be a part of maybe putting more back on television.
Rob, real quick, I've thought about this. Have you ever been that guy that's like, let me pitch them. I could fix this show. Like, let me tell you, hey, tweak this, or you're like, no, I don't want to be involved.
Yeah, as far as existing shows go, I am open. Anybody can call me from the shows, but I feel like I am not shy about putting my thoughts out into the ether for free. And I hope that there is never. I do think that with, especially like with a show like Survivor, I do think that sometimes I get a little bit painted in the hole of like, hey, he's the ringleader of all of the cranky complainers online. Like, I think that sometimes,
Interesting, really?
I think a lot of the fans would tell you, like, oh, hey, is he on the CBS payroll
Oh,
because
I've
that
heard that
he's,
too.
yeah. Oh, is he just carrying the water? All he does is just prop up Survivor. Whereas I think sometimes behind the scenes, I get viewed a little bit as a somewhat of a rabble rouser who is, complaining about the show, but it really is something that I hold deeply in my heart. Survivor, I will always love Survivor. I want it to be as good as it can possibly be. Not that I necessarily have all of the answers, but I think that I have a unique position where I am like the customer service representative for CBS and Survivor, where when people have an issue with their product, they really can't get a hold of the people that they're trying to talk to. And
Corporate's not
so
answering.
a lot of times they're not, and Jeff has made overtures and does a great job on the On Fire podcast and takes listener questions there. But for the most part, something happens on Survivor, somebody doesn't like it. They can't get through to somebody and so like, hey, Rob is a podcast. How can I help you? And I am the person who's fielding the complaint from somebody who maybe doesn't like something on Survivor. And we talk it through. And sometimes I think that the complaint is off base, and other times I end up agreeing with the person. But it makes the person who's watching the show feel heard. And I think it's part of the community and part of the discussion around the show. And I think that it makes the community stronger to be able to have a place where people can talk about these things that they care about so much.
No, I think you walked the line great, Rob. I think I'm still struggling in that sense because, just similar, I have people saying, well, why don't you do this? And I'm like, I'm not in charge here. But also, it's one of those things like, we're huge fans. We can be critical of the show a little bit because we're diehard fans. But like when someone outside is like, oh, that's a stupid show. And I'm kind of like,
Sharon, why are
it's
the live feeds down today? What's up with
right.
this?
Like,
Where's
Rob,
Rachel?
Oh yeah, I got so in so much trouble over that. I'm just like, it really ruined. I don't know. How do you deal with the negativity since I'm asking you when you do
You
get
know,
it?
it's hard, and I think that I think you probably get it harder than I do, especially with Big Brother,
Big
because I
brother.
think that there is probably people think of you as being where Big Brother, I think, is even the powers that be, I think, are even harder to reach than the powers that be
Fair.
for Survivor. And I think that people probably view you as like, okay, well, you have some conduit to be able to, get a message to the powers that be at Big Brother. And so I think that people probably end up being a little, and you know how very passionate the Big Brother fans are.
Yes.
And so I think that you probably get it harder than I do in terms of what's going on with Survivor.
Yeah, but I feel like yes, but you I feel like you have the host more on, like I feel like Jeff's paying more attention to what you're doing than Julie Chen's paying attention to what I'm doing.
Very fair. And maybe if something goes wrong on the traders, maybe then I will be the conduit that people then reach out to with their complaints about the traders.
Can't wait, Rob. I'm so excited. But no, this was great. Thank you so much for chatting. Congrats on everything. I'm so excited to watch the show and read the book. But yeah, just congratulations on everything. And this is really cool because obviously I've been listening to you for at least what, 15 years at this point. We've known each other, but to interview you, it's just very cool.
Yeah, well, Sharon, I really appreciate you taking the time to do
Of
this and
course.
appreciate all the great work that you do also.
Thank you so much.